The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, Young Dolph on the Fan. Get paid, Young. Get paid. Good drop. I sent Paulie like a bunch of random hip-hop songs about music. Rest in peace to Young Dolph.
It's Dolph.
I know people are like, what? Young Dolph? Who the hell is Young Dolph? I mean, this is a celebration of the richest owner in sports, in baseball, rather, you know, making the largest contract. This contract is more than Ronaldo gets paid, more than Patrick Mahomes gets paid, more than Otani gets paid. And that song is called Get Paid by Young Dolph. Rest in peace. You remember when that song was played? That you might know this. There was a story about some kids on campus at Duke. They were working in the Starbucks, and they were playing Young Dolph, Get Paid. And I guess their manager didn't like that music and, you know, either sent them home or reprimanded them. They got in trouble or something. And Young Dolph got wind of it, and he paid them in cash their whole salary, what they made there. He brought them out at Rolling Loud, and he handed them $50,000 cash. And play Get Paid. It was epic. Rest in peace to Young Dolph. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We have got like 20 minutes until Howie Rose joins us. Shout out to all the Mets fans on Twitter that hate my guts that are saying, Howie, don't do it. Howie, just don't even do it, man. Keith McPherson, do not go on with him. Ross is in Bergen County. Ross is on the Fan again.
Oh, Keith, how's it going, man? What a roller coaster.
Hey, well, at least the ride is over. Well, at least this part of the ride. That's what I'm trying to tell folks, Ross. Stay tuned. We got a decade and a half of this playing out. Nobody knows. Yankee fans got to chill because this could lead to a dark future for Yankee fans. Mets fans also got to chill, though, too, because you know you got to overcome your own cosmic energy that the baseball gods have put on your franchise for years. Like, nothing is a guarantee from the winter meetings.
Bro, I'm going to be 33 when that deal's up. That's just nuts.
Wow.
The thing about it, I mean, you opt out, consider, but let's hope it goes all the way. I'm going to be in my mid-30s, all that. Unbelievable.
Yeah, but, I said I'm going to be teaching my son how to drive when this time passes, so my son will be around your age.
That's nuts, man. Just a weekend to remember for me. Start off that dumbass Trouba finally off my team. I don't know if I got to call you about that. Thank the heavens. That SOF, I don't even have an acronym to think about. I don't want to curse on the air. He's off my team. Igor got extended. You kind of threw a damper on it. Vikings might be the funnest team in the league. I saw you repost a little White Chicks clip with Bynum's got the best celebration.
He kills you, bro.
People finally respecting us. People respecting us, and you hear Murphy at the end, you know, put some respect on our name. Everybody watching the Lions. We'll have to talk about some Instagram hockey. You got some Instagram football in Motown. And now, The highlight of the weekend for me, 10 p.m. I did a podcast and also online, just people too. 10 p.m., December 8, 2024. It's one of those moments you think about where, like, you got to reflect, where were you when it happened? For me, I just got out of the bathroom. I got the alert. I saw Mark Feinstein. I said, you got to be effing kidding me. I didn't know if, like, I accidentally, like, sometimes Twitter, like, gives you, like, post notifications for random accounts, like, tweet suggestions. And I didn't know if that's what I was getting from, like, a fake Mark Feinstein account. Because, I mean, I was doing a fair share of trolling. I was trying to get the graphics out. I did, like, a Photoshop of him wearing. I was putting out that he was going to Boston, so I was having some fun with it, too. I thought I was getting trolled. And I saw the actual blue check mark. I said, holy effing S, it actually happened. I was speechless, dude. And then, you know, I was speechless for a little bit. And I thought about all this stuff. I was calling you up for months upon months. Not only, you know, in 23 when it was warranted, but even this year. You know, I'll toot my horn when I'm right about stuff. But I sometimes, you know, when I got to eat crow, too, I'll be the first person to do it. And I can't call you up and say I knew this team was going to be playing postseason baseball. I didn't know if they'd be playing competitive baseball in July.
Yeah,
and one of the other things I got to go back to.
Fans waxing poetic about the great future,
right,
and all of these things that are coming, when a lot of those same fans were quitting on the team in May.
The weekend, 0-5, I remember I was in Phoenix Airport. I looked up to my father. I said, this team's done. I wouldn't go back to the ballpark for game 6 if I were some of those players. And, you know, I ate my words. But one of the biggest things, and it got to a point where sometimes, you know, so I do some self-reflecting on my calls sometimes. You know, if I was a listener here in Ross and Bergen County calling sometimes, if I bring up some of the same points over and over, I could be redundant sometimes. And one of those things I thought about that I kind of shied away from even when I did have a negative point, was I brought up the Steve Cohen bringing in a ring in 5 years, quote, way too often. That even myself, I'm going to have to bury it at some point. I'm going to bring it back up from the surface in a good light, because technically this past season was year number 4 under Cohen. And if I look back, kind of apples to oranges, Bill Foley, the guy who owns the Golden Knights, he had a 6-year plan he called when he first bought that team. He said, I want a cup in Vegas by year 6. Year 5, they missed the playoffs. Year 6, they wound up winning the cup after years of coming up short. So if it took a 2023 implosion, a 2022 implosion in the playoffs, 23, forget about it, 24, a great season, but still coming up short. You know, I brought up a roller coaster when I first called in. This might be the roller coaster to finally taking all 5 years, but getting a ring in 5 years nonetheless when Cohen first took over the team. And I can finally say the first time all the BS, all the crap I said about Cohen, calling him the long-lost Wilpon, saying I'd rather have Bernie Madoff on the team more than him, every bad word thing I ever said about this guy. 10:10 p.m. on December 8th is when I put my official permanent apology. I finally put respect on King Cohen's name.
There it is, Ross. I was waiting for you to get there. Land the plane, and there's a lot of people feeling that way. Right now, they just put out the cover of the Daily News tomorrow, and it says the house that Juan built. And so on Twitter, @Keith_McPherson. Look me up. I'm popping all of a sudden. I don't know. From Friday, Saturday, Sunday to Monday, I think I've gained close to 500 followers on there, and now I'm paying Elon Musk for the account where Elon Musk is paying me. So go check it out. The Daily News posts a Photoshop picture of Juan Soto's face over Mr. Met's body, and in big letters it says the house that Juan built. And I just said, nah. Like, what did he build? Give Steve Cohen the credit. Give Steve Cohen the credit for actually going out and doing what he's supposed to do. How long have you guys been saying, richest owner in the sport, Uncle Steve, Daddy Steve's going to get it done. You watch out. Steve Cohen counting his money. And he wasn't able to get Yamamoto. Ohtani didn't pick up the phone. They had the handshake agreement. Wink, wink. Judge, don't do it. Didn't want to pay for DeGrom. This is the time right now that you should be lifting up your owner. Juan Soto hasn't done anything for you yet.
You're wrong there. He chose us. That's why.
He chose Steve Cohen's money.
He chose the Mets franchise over the Yankees franchise.
No, he chose the
money. He chose the Mets.
He chose the money.
He passed on $760 million.
And it's set up for him to make so much more money.
What can't you do with $760 that you can do with $805?
The largest contract in sports history.
He had it already.
And keep it for a longer time.
He picked us over them. That is why. That is why the reaction is the way it is. No, he picked the Mets.
Listen, how many times you see a girl with a guy and you're like, mismatch. Something doesn't look right about this.
Often.
And then you see that dude's car. Or you see that dude's watch. And then you do the math And you're like, oh, I see.
Obviously. All right, he's a gold digger. It don't matter. He picked us. He could have dug with the Yankees for 16 years.
I cannot wait till he meets the media, which has got to be coming up soon, right? Juan, get on the plane.
I mean, technically,
leave Fort Lauderdale.
It's not official.
Fly up here to Queens. Yeah, he's got to pass the physical.
Well, and just today only, the Mets made Clay Holmes official. So they haven't said a word about Juan Soto.
Clay,
yet.
You rather stare at the wall and listen to the wall talk than hear what Clay's going to say about becoming a Met. We also know that the Yankees didn't want me, and I didn't want to move. I cannot wait to hear from Juan Soto's mouth all this stuff that you guys are talking about in the future. I can't wait to hear him say, oh, yeah, Steve Cohen promised my family a suite. Oh, you know what? The Yankees were not so welcoming to my family. You know, their security is so tight. They treat that place like Fort Knox. Steve Cohen has developed a family-friendly culture where everyone's significant other, which Juan Soto doesn't have, their mother and father and kids are welcome. That's why I chose the Mets. It's just not going to happen. Like, whatever you guys got to tell yourself, it is about the money, and that's what Yankee fans have to digest because we're dealing with the fact that these pinstripes and all this stuff that we've been brainwashed by as kids and that we think is something that, like, makes us walk around with our chest out, that's gone. That's not real. This guy walked away from it, spat on it for the money. There is no more allure in hanging out with Mr. Met. There is no more allure in raising the apple in center field. There is nothing shinier about the seven line doing spirit fingers and chanting. It's just not.
Oh, is there a better allure with Steve Cohen against Hal Steinbrenner?
Yeah, because Steve Cohen is rich AF, and he was not going to stop.
Okay, so that's let's say that's a point for the Mets then, right?
This whole thing is a point for the Mets.
You're saying it's just the money. I'm saying it's more than that. He thought...
I can't wait to hear it from him then. I want to hear him say that. I don't want to hear John Heyman saying, oh, well, there was a security guard. Like, that, I thought that was a joke. Like, really? Like, that's what we're going to pile on now after the fact? How come that didn't pop up in your reporting leading up? Right? If this happened in April and May, how come we didn't get a story about this during the season? We're going to pile on the little guy now? And a Yankee Stadium security, shout out to you guys because I know you guys are listening and I see you guys. Like, I'm not going to call out names, but you guys know who I am. You guys treat me fairly. People think I'm getting kicked out of sections in Yankee Stadium. Never that. People think I'm sitting in people's seats and Yankee Stadium security is escorting me out. Never that. I know a lot of the guys that do security in Yankee Stadium and they do their jobs. They check your tickets. They keep people safe. There's some crazy people that go to Yankee Stadium. Drunk as hell, and security is in there maintaining order, establishing dominance and authority over visitors. So you mean to tell me that, okay, authority was probably trying to protect Juan Soto, right? Authority in there, the security in there was probably trying to make sure that no one randomly pulls up on him. The same security that, like, stopped his chef and his driver, gave him a hard time, those people are instructed to protect him and make sure that nothing bad happens to him. You mean to tell me that on December 9th, that was a deciding factor? Miss me with the bull junk. It's nonsense.
That, we're on the same page, John. I just think when he's weighing, because he's set for life anyway, no matter where he signs, he's set for life. He thought he could build a better legacy and have his own team, not in the shadow of Aaron Judge.
I can see that. I had a caller that wanted to talk about that dropped off, but I could definitely see that.
I think he just wanted
to be the man.
He wants to be the man. You think Juan Soto knows what Monument Park is? Of course not. He's just another plaque.
Where is Judge? Judge is a 2-time MVP. Yeah. Judge is the leader of the team.
I think that is. I honestly think that's a factor. I'm like, you know, I loved being a Yankee. I love what all the fans did for me. But I want to build my own legacy, and I can do that.
It's wide open
in New York. I'm not moving. I'm keeping the same
barbershop.
They don't have
anybody that wins MVPs over there.
Everything.
They don't go to the World Series, but every couple of decades. And yeah, sure, I can see that. Not wanting to be in the shadow of Aaron Judge, not caring about the history of the Yankees and wanting to create your own history. But miss me with Martino said something about Soto's more of a family guy and more than a hang out with teammates guy. You know, he does his work, then he goes home to his mom and his dad and his family, and the Mets capitalized on making Citi Field a very family-friendly place. And Soto weighed that in his decision? Miss me with that, dude. I told y'all, like, they sit in Section 214 in Yankee Stadium. They're heavily guarded. I've seen Juan Soto's people. I've seen all of the Yankees' family and friends protected, having a holly jolly good time. You guys all saw the video of the Yankees' dads when they were going to the World Series kicking their legs in the air like the Rockettes. It is about one thing. Let's say it all together. It's all about the money. Shame on us as foolish Yankee fans thinking that we potentially had a lean. Shame on me as a foolish Yankee fan thinking, why would he walk away from the Yankees? For $1 million more. Not $5 million more. Upwards to $60, $70 million. Like, it was a lot more money, yo. That's it. That's it. You can't tell me anything else. When you look at the numbers and you look at all the factors, you can't tell me the lineup, the team, the culture, the history, or the future. It's about the largest contract, and that's what he's been the whole time. We just wanted to ignore it. That's why I can't wait to see him meet the media, right? Because when he met the media in Tampa being traded to the Yankees, I'm like, this guy's good. He put that Yankee hat on, but he didn't flinch. He didn't give you one inkling that he was happy to be here as a Yankee and it meant more than any other team. And he kept that going until the last out of the World Series. I'm available to all 30 teams. No, you're not. Ultimately, there might be three teams. The Yankees, the Mets, and the Red Sox. The Dodgers weren't real. They're the Dodgers, though. They spend money, so they're in the hunt. They're in the conversation. But ultimately, you were for the streets. And when I say he's for the streets, these girls that are in the streets, they're getting in the car with the guy that's got the Ferrari, man. They're going with the guy that's tricking, that's spending. And there's nothing wrong with that. Get paid, young player, get paid. Juan Soto got paid. 888-808-1019. Just don't try to tell me now after the fact. All of these stories come out about, a security guard and, his family. And nah, that's nonsense. The contract is ridiculous. John Heyman explains why a small detail could have been the difference between the Mets and Yankees. The Mets are giving Soto a suite. Come on, bro. I'm in suites every game. You think the Yankees couldn't give him a suite? Stop. It's poppycock. It's rubbish. It's nonsense. Believe whatever you want to believe, but know in your heart for it to be true that he was always going to the highest bidder, whether that would have been the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Montreal Expos. 888-808-1019. Nick is in St. Augustine, Florida on The Fan in New York.
Hey, what's up? How you doing, Keith?
Good. I'm rolling now. Now I've gotten more into, like, hold on, let me check y'all a little bit, and especially because people on Twitter are telling Howie Rose not to join me. I'm like, all right, now you're gonna make me be the bad guy again.
No. Hey, listen, before you went to break, you said something that's gonna prove my point, and I think the truth does hurt, but here's the truth. And you went back on the Mets about 3 years ago. If you go back 3 years ago, 101 games, Yankees in the playoffs, two Mets in the playoffs. At the end of the season, Yankees had to have an internal review of their analytics because everyone was talking about that. Next year, they both didn't make the playoffs. You had madness in the Yankee clubhouse. You had a drunk guy breaking things. It was wild. Then this year, to end the World Series, you had a damning report coming out from the LA Dodgers saying how bad the Yankees' defense position is, how bad their base runner is, how bad the team
is set up. We saw it. We didn't need a report. We saw it with our own eyes.
Well, exactly, yeah. So you don't think these things play into when Soto now is sitting down? Yes, it's about the money, but that money was very comparable. The Yankees offered him $60 million in a signing bonus. The Yankees were up to $760 million.
This man was getting every red cent. Thanks for the call, Nick. You think Juan Soto's sitting there thinking about, man, I was sitting in right field when Rizzo didn't run to the bag and Gerrit Cole didn't cover? Hell no. Nah. Juan Soto was in Fort Lauderdale. You're down there in St. Augustine. He was sitting in his hot tub just waiting. Juan Soto was out of it. Scott Boras went back to the Yankees, and the Yankees are like, nah, we're good, bro. We're going to bed. Enough is enough. Okay, well, the Mets have this ridiculous offer. Juan, they're the winner because we were always getting top dollar. It was never about those little marginal things. Because, like, if you can say that, then you can say the same thing about the Mets compared to the Yankees. All the stuff that Yankee fans were waxing poetic about. Our lineup, hitting in front of Judge. The roll call, how the Yankee fans treated him. The Dominicans in the Bronx, Washington Heights, being a Yankee. Oh, how that works with Under Armour or Celsius and all of his brand deals. How much better for him it would have been to stay as a Yankee. No. It was about the largest contract because that goes down in history. It was about who put the largest numbers down on paper. That's where I'm going because I will be remembered that way. And this contract will not be touched for a long time. Eli is in Washingtonville on The Fan in New York. Hello, Eli.
Hey, what's going on, Keith? Listen, man, I've been listening to everybody for your show and all the other shows and Twitter and all this stuff. And I've learned one thing today, that the Mets franchise and the Mets nation has an inferiority complex. Like, they have one of the best players signed, and every second sentence of every Mets fan and every Mets fan in your station was about the Yankees. Oh, yeah. We signed Soto. Yeah, the Yankees this, Yankees that, Yankees this. Get the Yankees out your mouth.
And that's why I started my show, Eli, saying celebrate. Let people enjoy things. This never happens. Live in it. But they can't live in the fact that they actually got their guy. They have to live in the Yankee shadow.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And listen, another thing is it was always about the money. Because this guy, he could have been the man in the Nationals. He could have been the man in every jersey that he put on. And Judge, batting in front of Judge, boosted his value.
Yeah, best year of your life, best career year in front of Judge. Let's see if you can duplicate that next year, Juan.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, this thing with this little story or whatever,
it's nonsense.
I'm telling you, it's nonsense. He went for the highest bidder. The guy, he's there's no loyalty in his DNA. That guy went for the money, and that's all. And every Mets fan wants to deny that because listen.
Why?
Money doesn't
flex.
Make you. Yeah, money doesn't make you a successful franchise. That's why
we flexed it, calling ourselves the evil empire for years because we had that muscle, because we had that superpower, the ability to go buy players and buy championships. Now that they got it, they want it to be about Mr. and Mrs. Met. They want it to be about the Clover Club and whatever the suite level is, the Delta Suite. What are we talking about?
Yeah, they want to carry this contract down the Canyon of Heroes. Instead of a World Series trophy, they want to walk down with a sort of contract.
Completely different fan bases. Thanks for the call, Eli. That's what it is. Just different fan bases. Just different perspectives. We literally live amongst each other but see things completely different. It's amazing. It makes for great radio. It makes for great Subway Series, right? I don't know how many times I got on the fan like the Yankees don't care about the Subway Series. I still have people right now mentioning me, well, what happened to the Yankees when we played this season, Keith? You got swept. Yankees didn't care. They had Jamai Jones leading off. They had J.D. Davis batting cleanup. I can't even remember the catcher's name. Like, they did not care. They did not care. But you're still holding that as something, right? At least Juan Soto helped us yank the narrative of, well, we've been to a World Series more recently than you. We can't do that now. It's just, like, Yankee fans aren't saying anything about the World Series. We'd rather not talk about it. We don't talk about the World Series we lost. 2015 gets mentioned all the time. 2000, not so much. 888-808-1019. Howie Rose is coming up. I better get these calls in. Lou's down in Asbury Park, New Jersey on the fan. What's up, Lou?
Keith, what's up, man? First off, I'm not a Yankee fan or a Met fan, so this is coming from a third-party perspective. Steve Cohen is slowly becoming the most valuable asset in Major League Baseball. What he did 2 years ago when he turned his troubled asset starting pitchers, okay, in the prospects by writing a check, all right? And now what he did this year, listen, what he did this year, apples to apples, the Yankees offered a 15-year, $712 million contract. The 760 was for 16 years at the Mets, 15 at whatever they offered. You're talking about $100 million difference.
The Yankees
weren't even in the same stratosphere.
Yeah, but blame the security guards at Yankee Stadium. Blame Yankee ticket sales for not reserving a suite for his family.
That contract's going to top out. That contract's going to top out at 805 versus the Yankees 712, plus the $15 million difference that he gets in the $75 million signing bonus versus 60. You're up around $100 million.
It wasn't close.
Now you got a guy, Cohen, who, you know what, if he does sign a bad contract, he can just sign a check, get out of it, and get prospects for it. Basically figured out a way how to create his own Major League Baseball currency in draft picks. Okay, because now the guy could just buy draft picks or prospects that have been drafted off of bad contracts. Now he's leveraging guys like Soto. Mets should not even be talking about the Yankees right now. They should be doing naked cartwheels.
Go celebrate.
Because they have the best asset in Major League Baseball.
Juan Soto is a Met. You got him. Yes, because of Steve Cohen. Yes. You're
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. It's all because of him. They got the best owner.
There it is, Lou. Like, thank you. That's why I said that the house that Juan built? What did he build? This is Steve Cohen. Give him the credit. It's okay. Don't have any guilt because now you're buying players. You're not buying championships. Slow your roll. You bought the greatest player available in this free agency class. Let's see. It could turn into championships. But there should be no shame in that. This is what you wanted, right? The coupons, the Wilpons, whatever. This is what you wanted, right? The new George Steinbrenner? The city's under new management? Your big brother now? Well, act like it. 888-808-1019. Coming up next, the voice of the Mets, my guy, Howie Rose. Howie, don't do it. Don't go on Key Show. Keith McPherson on The Fan. I'll be right back. Well, that's an appropriate song, Paulie. Joining us now is a literal GOAT, one of the greatest of all time, and I say that being dead serious. I've listened to him for years. I've had the pleasure of meeting him and having him on The Fan with me a long time ago now, like 2 years ago now. It's Howie Rose, the voice of the Mets. Welcome back, Howie.
Thank you, Keith. How are you? Boy, 2 years is a long time now. I know I'm getting old.
No, I know I'm getting old, too. I'm like, by the time Juan Soto's done,
not that long.
I'll be 50. I'll be teaching my son how to drive. My son is 20 months old.
Well, I don't want to think of where I'll be in 15 years, but okay.
We need you. We need you for another 15 years on the Mets broadcast, Howie. How about it?
Can't promise that. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow, right?
None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. And that's a great phrase to transition into what really a lot of the conversation is about, the future. There are folks calling saying Juan Soto saw the Mets as a better future for himself. There are folks calling saying, this is it. This is how we become perennial contenders for the future. This is how Steve Cohen changes our future. The LOL Mets are dead. We're World Series bound. And what I always say is, you know, we got to live this stuff day by day. Nobody can predict the future. But live in this today. Can you just express your feelings and emotion today about, like, how you feel? It hasn't even been 24 hours since you heard the news that Juan Soto would be a Met. Where were you yesterday, and how have you just felt with all of this being a reality today?
As you would imagine, I was on social media checking every avenue I could yesterday to find out what the latest news was. I had MLB Network on when this thing hit last night. I'm not shocked or surprised at all. It's what Steve Cohen has been about since day one, and by that I mean doing whatever it takes to put a contending team together, and his goal is to build one that's going to be sustainable, not sheerly through free agency, but Juan Soto is something of an outlier. He's 26 years old. And that's the most important element to this whole thing. Free agents don't become available, at least free agents of his caliber, at that age very often. Obviously, the resources were there. The mindset was there. And so at the end of the day, even though the Yankees had every opportunity to apparently, according to what we're hearing and reading, match what the Mets offered, he said, no, I'll go where the highest bid is right now, and that's the Mets, and that's how it got done. Now, how much more there is to it about what his agenda was, how much he might have wanted to play for the Mets, what the process was, I think that's the thing I'm going to be most interested, Keith, to find out in the coming days and weeks, the specifics of the process, how Steve and Alex, and don't forget Alex Cohen, Steve's wife, may turn out to be an integral part of the entire process here. And perhaps that'll come out down the road if, in fact, it's the case. But she is very actively involved in a lot of things in this organization. And there was a selling job, I'm sure, that was done as much as the having the highest offer might have been the impetus. And so I'll be interested to see how this plays out in terms of the history of how this came to be. But it's a great day for Mets fans, no question about it.
We're on the phone right now with legendary Mets broadcaster Howie Rose. You know, there is something to it, right? And it made me think of you, actually, and I had this in my notes. I can't speak to the pitch for Juan Soto. I can't speak to the clubhouse culture or how they treat family. But I know I was moved by seeing you on the plane and the Mets team plane playing your call.
God, yeah.
Of Pete Alonso. I'd never seen anything like that. I don't know. I can't speak for what the Yankees do with John Sterling or anything else, but I'm like, how awesome is it to see the broadcaster get lifted up and praised like that and have a moment like that, I can point to that as something special that the Mets organization did. And if there's more things like that going on behind the scenes, then maybe there is some truth to what we're hearing.
Well, that, Keith, was a singular moment. That was incredible. It doesn't happen. It was in the aftermath, though, of one of the most dramatic wins in franchise history. Remember, they went into that ninth inning in Game 3, the deciding game of the Wild Card Series in Milwaukee, not only down 2-0, but I think it was 16 Mets had been retired consecutively going into that ninth. You know, there was not a whole lot of reason to believe, other than the history of what had developed leading up to that game, because the Mets had won their share of dramatic games going into that finale against Milwaukee. But, you know, if a team ever looked close to being dead in the water, it was them going into that ninth inning, and then they have an inning for the ages. And obviously there was some celebrating in the clubhouse, and everybody was in a great mood when we got onto the plane to go to Philadelphia. And you saw what happened there. It was very emotional for me. That stuff doesn't happen. But the bigger part, and I'm glad you brought it up, speaking of the culture of the Mets organization, is that, and again, next year's team, Soto notwithstanding, but others as well, is going to be a lot different than the 2024 Mets. By necessity, they have a lot of free agents. There's going to be a lot of turnover. And they just, you know, reeled in a very dramatically important fish last night. But the culture that you saw on that plane, if you want to read into that, is consistent with what that clubhouse was like all year. And I'm going to say this, that, you know, I've watched the Mets since literally day one in 1962. I've been working in one capacity or another as a Mets broadcaster since 1987. But I'll tell you this, the synergy that exists between ownership, the front office, and the dugout is the best it's been since Gil Hodges passed away in 1972. Back then, it had the original owner, the wonderful Mrs. Joan Payson, and Johnny Murphy was the general manager, and Gil was the manager, and they all were pulling in the same direction. I can't say that's ever been the case since the passing of Gil until this triumvirate of Steve Cohen, David Stearns, and Carlos Mendoza came together. It is the best top to dugout, ownership to the dugout relationship that they've had in over 50 years.
Yeah, it's got to be. I mean, so many times I get on air and I talk about teams and I say that, you know, the players reflect the management. And I make the analogy of restaurants. You go to a bad restaurant, then check on the manager and who's running the operation from the top down. I think they say, you know, the fish stinks from the head. When things are going good, it's for a reason. And I tip my cap. I met Steve Cohen in Legends a couple years ago, and I shook his hand and I told him, I see what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. Did I know we'd be here? No, I didn't even think Juan Soto would be a Yankee. But he has done the work. He went out to get the right president of baseball operations. He went out to get the right manager. And then when it seemed like the team was at rock bottom, when it seemed like they were at an all-time low, where even Gary Keith and Ron are on the broadcast, like, look at the ballpark. And, you know, everybody's just like, there's nothing to even say. In the beginning of the season, you know, he stuck with it. They believed. They said they're going to be a postseason team. Then after the Jorge Lopez thing, some type of cosmic energy took over where a shift happened in that clubhouse with Lindor as the leader. And they went on this magic carpet ride. So I know that, you know, the guys are putting together here like the best moments of 2024 outside of that Pete Alonso homer, which is going to be there. And, you know, obviously we can think of some others. For you and your vantage point, can you give us the moment of the year from your bird's eye view that you get calling a game? What was a moment where you're like, okay, this is different. Something special is happening. I haven't seen this every day, because I know you can recall, you know, decades of Mets baseball that you've seen.
Yeah, there were games down the stretch. I'll say this. There was a Sunday night game. It was actually the last regular season home game, and it turned out to be a Sunday night game against the Phillies, and then the Mets were going to close out the regular season on the road for a week, and as it turned out, they were on the road for literally two full weeks afterwards. But anyway, they're playing that Sunday night game against the Phillies. They're up, I believe it was 2-1 in the top of the ninth inning. The Phillies have the tying run on third. And if I remember what happened specifically, It was Francisco Alvarez made a back pick to third. I think that's what it was, just an Alvarez throw. But it hit the bag. And it hit the bag at an angle where 99 times out of 100, that ball ricochets either into foul ground or short left field, and that tying run scores from third. But in this instance, the ball popped straight up and came down into the glove of Mark Vientos, the third baseman. Edwin Diaz wound up getting the last out. The Mets won the game. And that's when I said to myself, that reminds me of that famous ball on the wall play in 1973. And I wouldn't expect you to remember that, but, you know, you can look that up and read about it. But plays like that happen sometimes for cosmic reasons. I felt right then, all right, something's going on here. But the one moment that I'm going to take from all of them is the Francisco Lindor Grand Slam against the Phillies, which gave them the 4-1 lead in the sixth inning of what turned out to be the final game, game four of the best of five division series. Because, you know, you're playing a game that particular night where they had every opportunity imaginable. I think at that point they'd been pretty close to 0-10 or something like that with men in scoring position. They'd left the bases loaded a couple of times. They had the bases loaded for a third time. And then it's Lindor, the guy who, remember, had the bad back, missed some time, and weren't sure what his availability would be in the postseason. And he just continues to add to the script that he was writing, which was a very profound one, by hitting that grand slam. And the way Citi Field reacted, the electricity in the ballpark that night, they went on to win the game. And the first time they ever clinched a series at Citi Field, a postseason series, that's the one swing I'm going to remember all winter.
You just made me think of Ramon Laureano overrunning that ball from Jeff McNeil for the Braves to lose that game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then also walking off the Baltimore Orioles twice. And
winter. Yeah.
Francisco Alvarez homer. I was live. I was on air, and I was watching it here, and they end up posting my reaction. It was just a ridiculous swing and a pimp job to end that one. I'm like, there is something special about it. I started calling them the Make It Happen Mets in 2022. Boy, did they make it happen this year.
What was your reaction? I didn't see that one.
I was filling up my water, and I was watching the game, and my jaw dropped. My mouth was just wide open, like, oh, I knew that was over. And, of course, as a Yankees fan, I'm rooting for the Orioles to lose. And it took two walk-offs to beat them in that series. And I'm like, this is a team of destiny. There's something special going on here. No one can deny it. If you watch baseball, if you watch sports, when those things happen, it is part of a magic carpet ride. Now, the next thing I'm going to ask you, Howie Rose, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, on the phone with us right now. Citi Field, right? In the beginning of the year, there was so much talk about, there's no one coming out to Citi Field. The team's terrible. You know, they honored Doc. They honored Darryl. There's not enough people in the stands. But then fans started showing up. Brandon Nimmo called on fans to show up. Well, now you put this contract out for Juan Soto. I guarantee you there's people calling their ticket reps today. I guarantee you opening day is going to be different than it's been. And there's been really good opening days. What do you expect to see with that early season change and how many fans will be showing up? Because Citi Field is a place where you got the upper deck. Like, if you put people in there, that place rocks, as we saw in the postseason.
Yeah. Well, I'd be surprised if there are any tickets available for opening day by the time we get there. And I know that regular season single game tickets went on sale today, by the way. You can go to Mets.com and investigate that further if you're looking to buy for a specific game, but I think those will be hot tickets this year. And that's what happens when you make the commitment. You know, it's not just that they are spending the amount of money for the length of time that they're going to spend it for Juan Soto. The way the game is played these days, teams basically declare themselves in or out before the season even starts.
Yep.
And when Steve Cohen got here, I think we all knew he wasn't paying $2.4 billion or whatever, I think that was the price tag, to buy the Mets to willingly put mediocrity out there. He is, you know, he didn't get to where he is in business by mistake. He's pretty shrewd. He's pretty smart. And, you know, it's great. He's publicly said that he bought the Mets, and remember, his net worth has been estimated at $20 billion or beyond, so he can obviously afford to take some chances here. But he actually said that one of the reasons he bought the Mets and is hell-bent on making them regular contenders is that he feels that it's a civic responsibility of his. And I think, you know, George Steinbrenner felt the same way. He used to say the same thing back in the 70s and early 80s when he was, you know, being vintage George Steinbrenner. That's the way the game is played now. What I worry about, though, is that there's a collective bargaining agreement that's going to have to be negotiated 2 years from now after two more seasons. And I don't know whether or not they're going to be able to get through another CBA without something really serious changing. I think the owners, obviously, you've got some very well-heeled ones in New York and Los Angeles and Boston and maybe a couple of other places, but there are a whole lot of others who are going to say, hey, look, enough's enough. And I think we're going to see the clubs really push hard for a salary cap, such as the players have said they will never, ever accept. So I just wonder where we're going in a couple of years when the CBA comes up. That's for later. Right now, it's enjoy what's going on here if you're a Mets fan and a Yankees fan, because, you know, their offer was also well into the $700 million range. So they'll adjust and they'll make the moves they have to make. And the Mets, you know, still have holes to fill and work to do. But again, for Mets fans, this is a very special and perhaps even unique day.
Yeah, no shame in losing to the Mets for Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman with the offer that they put out there. The word that I saw in an interview with Steve Cohen was that this is philanthropic. And I was trying to find the quote this year where he said he's trying to, like, exterminate or erase negative Mets fans' energy or thoughts around the team. And I thought it was a great quote. He's got a lot of bars. He's got a lot of quotes. I remember 2 years ago when he was saying hope is not a strategy, and he said he wasn't trying to put a team out there that was going to embarrass us. I'm like, you never hear an owner talk like this. You never hear a guy talk like this about the team that he owns. Like, it is philanthropic. It is personal. He is a fan. And now with this move, pushing all of his chips in for Juan Soto, you got to try and win the World Series before the next CBA. You got to try and get it done, you know, with Juan Soto coming off his best year and the Mets coming off of one of their better years. Question for you next that I have is, you've seen Juan Soto as a Padre. You've seen Juan Soto as a Yankee and Padre and Washington National calling games. There's a lot being said about his defense, so I'll ask you what you think about him defensively, but we all know what he is at the plate, and I watched every one of his at-bats this year. What I'm telling Mets fans is, like, this guy is box office. Every pitch, you can't miss a pitch with him. He's entertaining every single pitch, the shuffle, the talking to the umpire, you know, staring down the pitcher, shaking the pitcher off. So tell us what you've seen as you've called games with Juan Soto as an opposing player. Maybe there was a day where you called one of his homers or saw him do something great where you're like, wow, this guy's different. Yeah.
I'll give you one. One jaw-dropping home run that he hit. If you could picture the Coca-Cola corner at Citi Field, which is the upper deck in right field. Now, behind the last row of the Coca-Cola corner, there's a walkway and then some refreshment stands, kiosks, etc. And he hit one, I think this was in the COVID year, it was either 2020 or 2021 when he was with Washington. And he hit a home run that if somebody was behind the counter at the time at one of those refreshment stands and wasn't paying attention, he might have lost a few, or she might have lost a few teeth, because that's how far that ball went. That was jaw-dropping to me. That's the furthest ball I've ever seen hit out to right field at Citi Field, straightaway right field, if you will, as opposed to right center, excuse me, where the Shea Bridge is. He's got that kind of power, but he's got a tremendous eye, as we know. Nobody has a better feel for the strike zone than he does. He's a hitting savant of sorts. As far as his defense goes, he's not Roberto Clemente out there. And, you know, you look at the entirety of the contract, and I think there'll be a point along the way when he starts getting more time as a DH and maybe a little less time in the outfield for various reasons. But, you know, it's imperative that they've got the kind of talented defenders in center field now that they do, with not only the incumbent Tyrone Taylor, but also the newly acquired Jose Siri. I'm afraid to say that name because I think my phone is going to start talking to me every time I do. That's going to be interesting, but you know, they'll have help for him in terms of center fielders with great speed and range. I mean, Soto's not a butcher out there at all. I'd say he's 2.5 or 3 in Stratomatic, if they're still grading him that way. in right field. But look, he's here for his bat more than anything. And it's a special bat and one that will be a centerpiece of any lineup.
Yeah, I've talked about him in right field. Obviously, he had to adjust to play in right field in Yankee Stadium. He had some mistakes, but I don't think he's terrible. When I listen to the fan, I hear people calling up these last couple weeks, he's a terrible defender. He's not terrible. I've seen him throw guys out. I've seen him make some plays. I've seen him rob some homers. I've seen him make plays there. And if I said this about the Yankees, I could say it about the Mets. He's 26. He can work on it and improve. You know, coming off the World Series, I think Joel Sherman wrote an article about how Mookie Betts repped every type of play, the ball hitting off the wall, the foul wall, the home run wall, like balls dropping in front of him, how Mookie Betts worked on being a good right fielder. Juan Soto's not going anywhere. This is his team for the rest of his career. He can work on fielding in right field, and he's going to have to, especially with the adjustments of the short porch in the Bronx versus that deeper part in Citi Field. Last question for you.
And remember, he has some experience playing it because when Washington came in before the schedule changed to where everybody played everybody, you know, he played 19 games against the Nationals, so he'd play 9 or 10 games a year for his first few years in the big leagues at Citi Field. So he's well acquainted with it already.
We're on the phone right now with Howie Rose. Howie, I'm going to let you go after this one, but you know, I feel like with all this Juan Soto talk, there's not enough talk about Pete Alonso. And we mentioned the home run that he hit. And I talked about it all year. I'm like, Pete Alonso has sat through different iterations of this team. He's watched guys come in and sign hefty contracts. I call it the Mega Millions. They hit the Mega Millions with Steve Cohen. And, I mean, he's been Mr. Met, as now people want to say Juan Soto is Mr. Met. He's been the face of the franchise. He's been the home run hitter, the guy you could count on. Do you think that Pete Alonso will return with the Mets, and could you see that working out? Because there's a lot of talk about, oh, this, look at this lineup. This lineup isn't a lineup that can contend with the Dodgers and the Phillies or whatever, but, I mean, if Pete Alonso comes back, I think you potentially can.
I'm fascinated by the Alonso angle here because, you know, if you add Alonso to Soto, then obviously you've got some depth beyond just the power, but I don't know. That's a tough one for me because he's going to be 30, I think, just this week, in fact. But his 30th birthday is right around the corner. So he'll play all of next year at 30. And look, every team now has the analytics and metrics and different biomechanical information that best inform them what that player will be like in year 2, 4, 5, or beyond in a long-term contract. And I mean, they can break it down to every imaginable situation. What, you know, what will he project 2 years from now in terms of his ability to hit a pitch at a certain spin rate, at a certain velocity, in a certain location, as opposed to how he can handle that now based on how you expect him to age? Those are the things that are going to go into whether or not he gets the kind of offer that'll keep him here, because you know, if the Mets value him one way and there's another team that values him higher in terms of length of contract, I don't think the money's going to be an issue. It's how, you know, how many years do you want to give a guy who's about to turn 30 years of age? That's where I think this thing gets a little murky, because if the Mets are of a mind where they'd rather keep it shorter term, say in the 3 or 4 year neighborhood, and somebody comes along and is willing to give him 6 or 7, well, don't forget, you know, Scott Boras is his agent too, and he's going to be looking to make the best deal, as will Pete, for his own future. So I don't know how to forecast it right now. I think before the postseason, I might have felt it was less than 50-50 that he'd be back, and then pre-Soto, the home runs and everything else he did in the postseason probably pushed it a little higher than that. But I'm fascinated to see now where they go. In other words, what does the commitment they've made to Soto do to their desire to take on more big money right away this year? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. I don't have a feel for it. I'm actually going to be a very, very interested bystander to see how they approach Alonso and others in the ensuing next months or weeks.
I think the next thing on the docket is to get Sean Manaea back, like to re-sign him and make sure he's locked and loaded. I know they got Frankie Montas and Clay Holmes, but before Pete Alonso, I'd make sure Sean Manaea is taken care of.
Well, you would hope so on one level, which is simply how well he pitched last year. Well, again, you're talking to a guy who's probably going to be looking at a pretty nice deal in the 3-year range. And I certainly, on a personal level, hope he comes back. I think he was a great fit in that clubhouse. Guy was always smiling, as friendly as anybody you'll meet in a big league clubhouse, and obviously a darn good pitcher too. So again, this just kind of, you know, piggybacks on what I was just saying about Pete. What is their appetite going to be in terms of the payroll that they take on beyond Soto now? I just don't have a feel for it. The one thing I don't expect is that they will shop at the top of the pitching market with Corbin Burns and Max Fried. Not that they wouldn't make the Mets any better or any other team any better, but you watch the game. Burns and Fried are about 30 years old. We've seen enough, haven't we, of pitchers who signed 6- and 7-year contracts at that age. And, you know, neither of them have been terribly injury prone. I mean, Fried's had his bumps and bruises for sure, but they haven't been of the type that require Tommy John surgery. He did have the forearm thing this year, but he's had ankle problems and some other things that have been a little more freakish. Burns, pretty healthy, 30, never had Tommy John either. Yeah, roll the dice when you sign long-term contracts at that age with pitchers. So I don't think the Mets will be looking up there. But right now, as any Met fan knows, it's a whole new world, so we don't know what's straight ahead.
Howie, you're the man. I appreciate your time from when Spike first put us together and you came on to now, and even when I saw you in here and, they let me know, hey, Howie's going a little longer. He's cutting into your show. I'm like, I'm listening. All good. Let him go doing his thing. Nice. I'm enjoying it. I appreciate you talking well of me online as well and giving us all this time tonight. Happy holidays to you and your family. Go enjoy the rest of your night.
I appreciate that. And you and your family and everybody else listening on my alma mater, WFAN. Have a very Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and Happy New Year. Great visiting with you.
The legendary Howie Rose, voice of the Mets, talking a little Mets, Juan Soto, Pete Alonso, Sean Manaea. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan.